Then welcome to the Cryptographic Communication Protocols lecture course. I am Paul Rösler. You can just call me Paul. And this lecture will be about the security and cryptography that is important to formally understand what protocols are. Before I write down my first notes, I want to mention that you can always ask questions, all the questions that you think are relevant. I think it is always helpful for everybody else that you ask these questions, because typically if you have the question, then you're not the only one who has that question. There are no stupid questions, so please feel free. We are a very small course, as you can see. Maybe there will be further people coming a little bit late or something, but I assume that we won't be much more people than 10 people. So we have all the time that you want to have for discussing things, understanding things, and I think that's the most important part at the end, that all of you understand what I want to tell you. Okay, maybe another second question. All of you are master students, bachelor students, anyone? Master students, master students, master students. Okay, perfect. All of you took part in the Introduction to Modern Cryptography? No, okay. That's not a big problem. I guess I will repeat the most important things. I hope that all of you at some point had any contact with reduction-based proofs, because reductions are the things that we will use mostly for proving security. But if not, we will have some examples at the beginning that hopefully will tell you a little bit of how it works, but I won't go into that very deeply or formally anymore. Okay, so the course that I will be giving this semester is Cryptographic Communication Protocols. And the topic of today is split into three items. I will first give a brief overview of the administration things, of the course contents, and any other things that might be relevant. We will then look at Diffie-Hellman key exchange, which is a super easy example to get in touch with cryptography again, and the important things that we will have to look at when we want to consider more complex protocols like signals double ratchet and other things that happen in the messaging literature. So Diffie-Hellman key exchange is super basic but also very important. And we will also look at Elgama encryption, which is basically the Diffie-Hellman key exchange just with one multiplication, and this offers us to build public key encryption. And so at the very end of our day today, we will have formal definitions for public key encryption, and if we have the time, also for key encapsulation mechanisms. All right, so this is what we want to do today. But as I said, we begin with an overview of administrative things. And the most important one is the exam. Since it seems as if we don't have much more than 15 people, it will, I guess, for now, if it doesn't change within the next 2.5 hours, like, or 2 hours, that there are far many more people than here than the five of you, then we will have an oral exam at the beginning of the semester break. So I guess we will have the last week of the semester will just be repetition and questions and answers lecture, and then maybe 2 weeks after that I will schedule the oral exam. The oral exam is roughly 15, 20 minutes. I don't know exactly, but I think 15 to 20 minutes, which consists of 5 minutes, a presentation from your side about your preferred topic on anything that happened during the course. You can basically decide by yourself which topic you want to talk about. The simpler the topic, The simpler probably my questions, the harder the topic, the harder my questions. So basically you can more or less decide in which range of grades you want to be assessed from my side. So if you want to have a 1.0 or 100% or whatever, then you should choose a heavy topic. And this will allow me to also ask more heavy questions. If you just want to pass the exam, you should probably choose a simple topic. But of course, I will also test whether you have basic knowledge in all the things that we covered here. So it won't be trivial just by choosing a simple topic. It will just tell me what you think you're up to. And also, even if you choose a simple topic and I realize that you are just far too shy, then we will also have the opportunity to test you for a perfect exam. Okay. It is important to register for that at some point, so please do that. As far as I know, you will receive an email at some point that there is the registration 2 weeks. You have to do that. I can't do that for you anymore, so you have to do that. And if you don't do it, then you probably can't participate in the exam, and so all the entire semester wasn't worth it for you. Okay, the second important part is exercises. This week I start with 2 blocks of lecture because there is nothing to exercise yet. There are no things that you can, I don't know, train or understand or whatever. And so I will just do a deep dive into the introduction this week, but next week onwards we will first start with a short repetition as well as exercises from last week. And there is already an exercise sheet online that you can see on the Studon page. And I warmly welcome every one of you to prepare that. If you don't prepare that, it doesn't make sense to participate in the exercise lecture next week. I had that last semester at some point that people became lazy and didn't look at the exercise sheet anymore, and so they didn't know what we did or what the exercise was about, what the questions were. And this doesn't make sense. I don't do the exercises for myself, I do that for you. I do that such that you can learn during the week with practical hands-on tasks what we did in the last week, and so we basically repeat all these more high-level things, more theoretical things from the lecture in the exercises. And so this will allow us by starting with the exercise every week and then turning into the formal lecture later in the two-slot schedule by repeating last week and then jumping into this week's content again. What is important for you is that if you do the exercises and you are well prepared, then this will give you bonus points for the final exam. So, up to 10% if exam passed. So if you pass the exam, you can add 10%. So if you, let's say, pass the exam with 80%, then by having done the exercises, you can get up to 10%. So 90% instead of 80%. What you can or what you should do in order to get these 10% is there are 2 options for that. The first option is you present the solution you present the solution of an exercise. So basically the idea of these exercise slots starting next week is that either I present those solutions and so nobody gets the bonus points, or someone of you presents the solution. Come in, you're welcome, you didn't miss that much yet. So either I present them, nobody gets the bonus points, or someone of you does that. The best opportunity for this is, or the best option for you to do that, is you announce that you want to prepare the exercise solution for next week via the Studon forum, such that nobody else will try to do that. Or if somebody else also wants to do that, you can split the presentation of the solution into two. And if you do that perfectly, you get all the 10%. If you can't answer simple questions on that, maybe you get 5% or whatever. So I will basically grade your solution based on whether, first of all, what you did is correct, and secondly, whether you can explain what you did there. This is the first option. Since we now are six people, this will definitely work in the, I think, 13 slots that we have during the semester. But some people are shy and don't want to present solutions, but still do the homework, but never want to stand in front of a class. So the second option is contribute to the LaTeX script. What I did last semester, because I don't have students who support me in preparing and post-working on that lecture, I published those PDFs here from my manuscript, and I asked everyone to basically co-write with me that script. So you take notes. I can't guarantee that you can read that, because as you can see, my handwriting is not optimal, but it makes a lot of sense for you to take notes, because then, first of all, while listening to the lecture, you already train these things with your hands. You somewhat get a feeling for that. Also, when you have to write it down, you have to know what you are writing down. So basically, you can ask the questions that are relevant for understanding what I wrote down there. So there is a first understanding process when you write things down. But I do understand that sometimes maybe just writing stuff down on your own doesn't provide enough content or context on what we did. The first thing is that thank you to the Fachschaft. We have the recording of the lecture this year, but I won't do that for the exercises. So for the exercises, you still should take notes in order to understand things. And I would highly recommend you either way to take notes, because taking notes, I will try to write as slow as it requires you to keep up with my speed. It also slows down myself, just in order to get you things, or to get the things explained that I want to explain. But nevertheless, there is a LaTeX script this year that I am starting to write. So it's not existing entirely yet. I will update it week by week based on the things that I want to talk about, that the things that I think are relevant. But that script won't cover all the things that I talked about. It won't cover all the proofs that I talked about. It will basically cover the most important definitions, the most important constructions, and will give some kind of a background information or context information. And what you can do in order to earn extra points for the exam is, as I said, either you present a solution of an exercise, or you take so good notes during the lecture, and you will just add them to the LaTeX document. You can do that by issuing pull requests. And if you do that in a, like, for an entire lecture, for example, then this will also get you extra points or bonus points, up to 10%. All right. So of course I have to go through your pull requests, and I probably won't take all of them. And I'm super happy if you either comment on, I don't know, mistakes, typos, whatever, things that are not comprehensible, or you just ask pull requests in general. I can't give you more than 10%, but of course you are always welcome to contribute to that script. And I will definitely acknowledge you in that script if you contribute. It's more than just typo comments. So this is my service to you. I can't give you more service than that, because my time is limited, and as I said, I don't have students who support me in processing and preparing things for that lecture. All right, so that being said, I recommend you. So far there was nothing important to be written down yet, but I really recommend you to take notes during the lecture. I won't judge you if you don't, but I can tell you it will be hard if you didn't. All right. So, what I already told you now is that there are different sources that you can use for, at the end, understanding what we did in this course. The first one is my manuscripts. This will be the primary source of information. And as I said, I highly recommend you to take notes. So, as I said, this is the primary source. All the information that are relevant for the exam will be in my manuscript, plus the voice that I put on top of that. There will be the LaTeX script. This will, as I said, cover definitions, constructions, but not all the details. And as I said, I encourage you to contribute. And finally, we have the recording. Thank you to the Fachschaft. And, of course, due to having the recordings online, you will be able to just sit at home and watch these lectures and only the lectures. And I totally understand if people do that, because there are different types of people who have different types of schedules. Maybe there are overlapping lectures, and that's perfectly fine, but I don't have the capacities to perform online Q&As. If you have questions, you have to come to the lectures or to the exercises. Or you can, of course, use the forum on the Student page, but the only thing that will help you there is other students. I won't be able to moderate that. And so if you choose to work online from home, you sometimes just have to come to the lecture and ask questions, because otherwise I won't be able to handle that. And that's basically all from my side on the administrative stuff. The next step is then trying to understand what we're going to do here. Yeah, sure.
So the videos can be found on video.cs.fu.de, not the fu.tv website. That's pretty important, because no one will find them otherwise.
Okay, you will just send me an email and I will put that on the website later.